Welcome to my first podcast. My name is Aaron Spivak. Some of my friends call me Haroon. Don't call me late to dinner, and we'll be all right. I've had many jobs and vocations over the years, from Albany Times Union paperboy to elevator operator in an egg-shaped theater in the same city, from laundromat and tanning salon attendant on Boston's Huntington Avenue to graphic designer at the print shop across the street, which was owned and run by Ethiopians who taught me many, many things about history, culture, religion, race, and gender, to name but a few. For about a decade, I was a guitar teacher in Brookline, Massachusetts, where I taught elementary school kids to laugh while plucking out a few notes on their guitars, or a Bollywood enthusiast had to play his favorite melodies on mandolin, or teenage boys to play jazz, funk, and jam band rock, or young and old professionals to play various instruments and styles as they tried to do something more meaningful than the 9-to-5. I went from guitar teacher in the 90s and early 2000s to my current gig as professor of Islamic studies, having taught in various universities including Harvard, Loyola University, New Orleans, Colgate University, and Hamilton College. Throughout it all, I can say that at minimum, I see myself as a speaker, a writer, an advisor, a teacher, and a songwriter. When I speak, write, advise, teach, or compose, I hope it is about truth and real experience in a way that addresses meaningful and enriching topics, that puts some joy inside the tears, some order in the chaos, some purpose in the senseless, some meaning and clarity in the confusion, and maybe, just maybe, some light in the darkness. This podcast will address many topics drawn from my personal interests and experiences, and I hope you find them interesting and enriching too. I will be discussing lots of issues, from education to music, from race relations to poetry, from personal experiences with interesting people to critical thinking maxims for lifelong learners, all connected in some way to these various hats that I've worn throughout my life, the various places I've lived or visited, and wonderful people who have shared their lives and wisdom with me. I've been a Muslim since the late 1990s, so much of what I discuss will be through the lens of my experiences and worldview as an American Muslim. But this podcast is not intended to be a devotional or a quote-unquote religious venue, primarily because I inhabit many worlds. Worlds which include people of many different flavors of belief or doubt, piety or practice, and I value all of my relationships with the multitude of people I interact with. So no matter if you're typically allergic to the sacred or the secular, whatever those mean to you, I think you will find a lot of interesting stuff here. Despite all the personal background, this podcast is not about me, myself, and I. It's not a live your life out loud on the web show. This podcast and everything else I do is about transformative conversations around fundamental questions of life, rooted in an appreciation for the experiential dimension of knowledge, art, religion, and culture. So we begin with a diverse bunch of smart and cool people, otherwise known as my friends, reflecting on their transformative experiences as students in amazing and life-changing classes. For this first podcast, I will discuss the rules of awesome teaching and what makes an awesome teacher or classroom experience. We've all had a few awesome teachers and a few not-so-awesome teachers as well, but whether we count as our teachers, our family, or our school teachers, college professors, or kung fu instructors, gurus, or wise friends, we would not be far along without them. It is reported that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once passed a group of devotees who were invoking God, and another group who were studying sacred knowledge. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, affirmed both groups, but joined the circle of learning, saying, "I was sent as a teacher. I have studied in many institutions, but one of the most transformative learning experiences I have had was a few months of intensive study in a seminary in Turkey, studying among students from all over the world, but mostly from the Kurdish regions of Turkey. I asked the Sheikh for some final words of wise advice before leaving, upon which he told me, 'The aim of knowledge and learning is action and teaching. One who learns, acts upon that knowledge, and teaches it to others is the Rabbani, or the lordly or masterful one.'" Harkening back to the statement in the Quran, "Kunnu Rabbaniyin," which is in the imperative form, meaning be lordly or be lordly and masterful. Now, in this specific religious context, we see an approach to teaching and learning which is directly connected to action and passing on that knowledge. And we see a description of what an excellent teacher is, a Rabbani teacher, or more, that one who is an excellent teacher is lordly and masterful. So let's say we take this, and by way of ishara, or by way of indication, we move on to the more broad conception of masterful teaching, awesome teachers. What makes a masterful or awesome teacher? I've struggled with this as an educator over the years, and one day I decided to find out what some of my friends think about this. So on March 28th, 2013, in a moment of inspiration induced by, of all things, a faculty pedagogical meeting, I thumbed into my iPhone the following Facebook post. Hey everybody, I would love to hear what my awesome Facebook friends have to say about what makes an awesome class. First, what was your favorite, most impactful undergrad or high school class? Second, list three qualities of that class that make it so awesome or meaningful or impactful. And third, turn those three qualities into a rule. That is to say, an awesome class must have whatever that variable is. I had to muscle a few friends into responding via email, but in the end, I received 15 fantastic responses. The respondents' ages ranged from early 20s to late 40s, I assume at least, it would be kind of weird to ask. And some were musicians that I had studied with in the early 90s at the New England Conservatory of Music. Others were international students at BU or Harvard in the mid-2000s, from Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Pakistan, now working in business or finance or politics or education. Most spent at least some, if not all, of their high school years in the U.S. One is a medical doctor, another a chaplain, and a few are computer programmers. Two were PhD students at the time, and may still be as things often go, and one had just completed his undergrad. So a diverse bunch on the one hand, but clearly all share a deep devotion to and a passion for learning. To get the ball rolling, I provided the following reflections. In answer to the first prompt, what was your favorite, most impactful undergrad or high school class, I chose Bob Labere's Intro to World Music at the New England Conservatory of Music, where I did my first 2 years of undergrad before running out of money and joining a hip-hop band. I could very easily have also chosen my 11th grade creative writing class as well, and a few other great educational moments, but this one fit easily into the scheme. In answer to the second prompt, list three qualities of that class that made it so awesome, meaningful, or impactful, I wrote, we learned to play the bendir, which involved using drum syllables rather than written music, to sing Sufi songs in Turkish, despite being mostly monolingual Americans. The bendir is a round Turkish frame drum, struck with one's fingertips primarily, and one learns to play it often by reciting syllables that correspond to parts of the drum. Dum for the middle of the drum, and tek for the outer rim of the drum. Dum, tek. Dum, tek. So when you string them together, you get something like dum tek ya, dum tek tek dum tek ya, dum tek tek dum tek ya, dum tek tek dum tek ya, dum tek. The idea being that if you can say it, you can play it. It was one of the first times I was exposed to the oral and aural method of learning, that is to say, oral, O-R-A-L, and aural, A-U-R-A-L, spoken and heard. It was one of the first times I was exposed to the oral and aural methods of learning, as opposed to knowledge moving from paper to mind. It was also the first time I contemplated the master-disciple method, which was so important in South Indian Carnatic music that we studied in this course. The second quality that made the class so awesome and impactful was that Professor Labere taught us that playing some other culture's music allowed us to walk a mile in their perceptual shoes. That is, by seeing connections between the emphasis on the downbeat in a polyrhythmic drum riff and the emphasis on unity in the mystical teachings of Hinduism, for example, we might get an experiential taste of another's worldview. that we might see through another's eyes, even if only metaphorically, and in a very limited and potentially skewed way, was a supernova of possibility, a first glance at what in religious studies one might call empathy, as making the strange familiar. The third thing that made the class so memorable all those years later was that I had to transcribe and analyze a nay taksim, that is to say, an improvisation, and taksim, of a reed flute called a nay, Turkish nay taksim. I had to transcribe and analyze a nay taksim, which had so little to do with the Jimi Hendrix or Grant Green riffs that I had learned by ear thus far. It was a tall order to put on paper the notes one hears on a cassette tape, rather than merely pluck them out on the same instrument on which they were originally produced. From these three observations, I developed three rules of excellent teaching, or awesome classes. They are as follows. Awesome classes should include hands-on or learn-by-doing activities that push students to explore outside their already acquired skill sets. Awesome classes should emphasize empathy or making the strange familiar. And awesome classes should promote analysis and critical thinking that generates close familiarity with something unfamiliar and beautiful. I have had the greatest successes with this sort of learning and teaching in a course on Islamic mysticism that I've taught over the years, which I'll talk about in the future, inshallah, God willing. But next, I want to bring your attention to some of the amazing things my amazing friends brought to the conversation. Okay, y'all, your turn, I thumb-typed into my iPhone before posting it. I got wonderful and thoughtful responses from a broad variety of people from around the globe with very different interests and experiences. Admittedly, a number of my friends did not cast their observations on excellent teaching into rule form, so some of the wording reflects my own diction, but the ideas, and at times the wordings, are theirs. So, without further ado, awesome classes, according to my awesome friends. Awesome classes should open up students to different ways of thinking, shock their assumptions, encourage critical analysis, and provide future pathways of study. Awesome classes should stretch students' abilities while making it feel effortless. They must have an instructor that really loves what he or she is teaching and loves helping students experience that degree of love. Awesome classes have a clear, constructive, and practical application and benefit in the real world. Awesome classes must translate difficult, dry ideas into everyday life. Awesome classes have teachers who know and understand the psychology of the students, who encourage the challenging of theories. Awesome classes create an environment whereby students feel safe asking questions without feeling singled out or inferior. Awesome classes are where the experiential and the factual merge seamlessly. Awesome classes create a sense of student community and camaraderie via dialogue, discussion, humor, and opportunities for collective reflection, emphasizing this over rote curriculum and syllabus-driven rigidity. Awesome classes are interdisciplinary, merging different fields, allowing students to look at a topic through another discipline or vice versa. Awesome classes challenge assumptions and open students' minds to new experiences and paths. Awesome classes encourage students to learn for learning's sake, not just grades. Awesome classes encourage engaging discussions and using relevant texts. Awesome classes have readings and lectures, which use high-quality academic research, but which also provide mechanisms for students to absorb the material in ways that are relevant for their unique subjectivities and should serve to deepen our understanding of the world we live in and the tools we use. Awesome classes enable students to understand and participate in the means of producing the knowledge being studied. This requires, at minimum, a cursory reference to the history of the discipline. Awesome classes have an awesome professor who is happy to be there, energetic and relatable in some way. Awesome classes have a professor who facilitates, and the class should be about the students, i.e., an awesome class should be student-centered. Awesome classes encourage participation. They encourage stepping away from who you think you are. They encourage student-led critical analysis and problem-solving via scenarios or problems presented by the teacher. Awesome classes encourage visualization and self-reflection or analysis. Awesome classes must have a professor who loves the subject matter so strongly that she would enjoy teaching it for life. Awesome classes support and foster interest and meet the basic psychological needs of students, their competence, relatedness, and self-determination, thereby leading towards mastery rather than performance-based outcomes, less fatigue and attrition, and higher quality and more creative work. Awesome classes identify or integrate with students' educational goals. They have inspiring and engaging readings. They have classes. They have professors who know the material intimately, or if they lack some knowledge of the subject, they are effectively learning along with the students, primarily if it's a seminar. Awesome classes have assignments that allow for creativity, applying to individual interests and thinking outside of the box. Awesome classes enable students to take knowledge and apply it to meaningful real-world contexts, especially via service learning. Awesome classes encourage proactive knowledge production, contributing to the greater discussion. I may discuss a few of these in greater detail in future segments, but there are three important commonalities that I think are worth highlighting. The first is the need for knowledgeable teachers who are passionate about their subjects. One reason I think many educators who are fresh out of grad school are so successful in the classroom, at least in terms of student satisfaction and buy-in, is that their excitement and passion is infectious, and it has not yet been dulled by departmental politics, institutional time-sucking commitments, or the frets of a publish-or-perish environment. The second commonality worth highlighting is the need for students to experience the subject matter, even if in a figurative or imaginative way, not merely learning and repeating information and skills. One can go overkill with experiential exercises, to be sure, and there will always be those few traditional and utilitarian learners who want a data dump lecture, but I've found that even some of those students, when asked to reflect on elements core to their being and perspective, often are willing to break from their utilitarian patterns and take the experiential plunge. The third important commonality is the need for some kind of psychological harmony, connection, and awareness between the teacher and the student. No one can be everything for everyone, but at bare minimum, an awareness of what individual students want and need from the course, what their specific learning styles may be, and a general sense of what's going on behind the scenes emotionally are indispensable. I once had a student who was in the process of transitioning from gang life to academic life, which meant that he might get a phone call during the class break informing him that his friend whom he had just been with a few hours earlier had been shot, or that he would get followed home by random cars, only to later be told, "We were just looking out for you," or the likes. Students aren't always forthcoming, but at minimum, I try to assume that there's often a complex backstory to the person sitting before me in the classroom. While there's much to say about the many rules my friends and I came up with, I've extracted three important qualities in learning and teaching that are necessary in a healthy and transformative learning environment, as opposed to an environment that more resembles a for-profit utilitarian degree mill. Passion, experience, and connection. Passionate teachers, empathetic and experiential learning, even in courses that presumably lend themselves more to skills transfer, and a sufficient connection between student and teacher. I saw these three qualities and many of the other rules of teaching in the Kurdish seminary in Turkey where I studied, where all knowledge is tied to teaching, action, community service, and mystical experience. The best teaching in my humanities and Islamic studies training was always, at minimum, one wherein there was an approachable and connective professor, and the very best always combined all three: passion, experience, and connection. How might we save the world with this knowledge gleaned from the magical medium of social media posts? Well, we can at least give it a go by emphasizing the necessary bridge building that often occurs when normal and good people make the strange familiar and learn through experiencing a mile in another's shoes. When my colleagues and I have discussed how we can better deal with problems of inequality and injustice on college campuses, I often begin with the necessary yet insufficient in and of itself condition of breaking bread, connecting, sharing life experiences, and building real and meaningful relationships outside of our cultural comfort zones. Some of my colleagues have shared heartbreaking failures wherein friendships and bridge building still results in the continued harm and injustice. this time coming from someone you have invited into your life. So it's not a cure-all, but a critical mass of good people embracing difference, agreeing at times to disagree, and also realizing deeper commonality and familiarity in what was once otherwise strange and otherizing, is likely to be part of the overall solution. The classroom particularly, and the lifelong arc of learning in our lives more generally, are among the central places where this bridge-building and empathetic de-otherizing occurs. Thanks for listening to my first podcast. I would love to hear your feedback, and if you would like to hear more, please consider being a patron on my Patreon page. Peace, wassalam.